church. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We serve a risen Savior. We are blessed. We have much to be excited about. Yeah, the newsman says this, the doctor says this, the checkbook says this. God is on the throne. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Father God. We are so blessed. Joshua chapter 1, if you want to turn to it or look on your bulletins or the monitors, Joshua 1, 6 through 9 is going to be the meat of our study today. Let's just read this together. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your anointing in this service, Lord. Let us leave here refreshed and energized, Lord. And let us leave here convicted of our sins, Lord, and washed and refreshed in your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to leave here ready to be about your business, ready to be and do what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father God, that each and every one of us are growing in relationship with you and growing into a deeper, more intimate walk with their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. I'm excited this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel His presence. And that's not just something that's not something weird that church folks say. I mean, I'm sure people have said that and not meant it. But there's a wonderful thing when you feel God's presence in a service. When you come together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family, your church family, and you feel God's presence and you know that He's desiring to do something in your life. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes you get up here and you preach and it's like walking through 3 foot of mud, you know, or just, it can be very difficult sometimes. You know, you don't come in, Preacher Paul doesn't come in with the right attitude or something, or he's thinking about something else, or there's just a certain heaviness. But sometimes, man, you come in and you're just like, I'm shaking all this off. I'm just focusing on God. I'm just giving God the glory. And I say, God, your will be done in my life. And Father God, thank you that you're doing amazing things in all of our lives, Lord. So we are so blessed and I'm so honored to do life with you guys. Anyways, we should get going here. Joshua 1, 6 through 7, or Joshua 1, verse 6 is where we're going to start. But just a little recap. So for the last several weeks, we've been talking about these two heroes of the Old Testament, Joshua and Caleb. They were part of the children of Israel that were led. They were led under Moses. And Moses gets these guys right up to the promised land, the whole nation of Israel. And then he sends in 12 spies. 10 spies come back with a horrible report. 2 spies come back with a very encouraging report. Those 2 spies that came back and said, God can do this, God can surely give us this land, was Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 spies, they were full of fear. They didn't think God could handle it. They didn't think God was big enough for what they were facing. So God brought the Israelites into 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness until an entire generation of people died off. All the people that grumbled and complained and doubted that God could do this for them, God said, okay, well, you just missed your chance for this huge, humongous blessing. But Joshua and Caleb, there's something different about you guys. You put your trust in me. You've served me wholeheartedly. You guys are going to inherit this land. So now we're at the point of our story. We're not talking about Caleb at all today. We're going to talk about Joshua. Now, Joshua was Moses' understudy, his second in command. Moses has been called home. Moses passed away. Moses has graduated. He is now getting his reward. But now Joshua is in charge of this ragtag group of grumblers, complainers, this group of millions of people that he has to take across the Jordan River into the promised land. And there's much warfare ahead of these guys. So God meets with Joshua. And last week he told Joshua, he said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Okay, so he was encouraging Joshua, go back and look through the memories of your life and see how I was with Moses and I did these amazing things for Moses. And I told Moses I was going to do these things. Moses trusted in me and I did them. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. So yeah, you got a big job to do. You're the second generation going in here. But listen, your job is just as important as the job I gave Moses. So it's a little different than Moses. You're not filling Moses' shoes like other people might think. Hey, this guy's got some big shoes to fill. Well, that's not the case at all. You're not filling Moses' shoes. You're filling the shoes that I have set before you. I've got a mission for you. I've got a plan for you. And you've got to walk in it. So anyways, this is where we're at. Joshua 1, verse 6. This is God meeting with Joshua and telling him some amazing stuff that we need to apply to our life. If we want to be blessed, if we want to be in God's will, this is what we need to do. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So this is a huge job, a huge undertaking that God has given Joshua. And he says this, he says, be strong and courageous. In the four verses, in our four main verses today, you'll notice that three times he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, man. Be strong and courageous. See, people need us. Let's just come. People need us to be of sound mind. People need us to be strong and courageous. Let me just say it like that. People need us to be strong and courageous. There's people that are counting on us. There's a whole world that whether they realize it or not, they need us. They need us. And so as this world gets crazier and crazier, we need to be strong and courageous. We need to be full of trusting in God instead of looking at the wind and the waves and being all discouraged and freaking out like somebody that doesn't know the truth. We need to have peace in our hearts. And so when everybody else is freaking out, we can stand up and hold our head up high and they can notice, hey, there's something different about you. Why are you not freaking out? Well, can I tell you about my Jesus? I'll tell you. I love it, baby girl. I'll tell you how I'm doing okay. And it's not that we're not going through crazy times, but we have wonderful promises of a trustworthy God, a faithful God that we hang on to during these hard times. God says to his people, I need you to be brave, man. I need you to be brave. People are watching you. People are dependent on you. So trust in me. Okay, look at Ephesians 2 in verse 10, right? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Ephesians 2 verse 10. And I'm going to take a sip of this delicious and refreshing water. So just as God had a big plan for Joshua, I want us to understand this. Okay, God has a plan for each and every person here. God has a plan for his people, okay? And you know, we can say, like, I can't even do the Christian thing, man. I can't even do the Christian thing right. Well, okay, so, well, that's actually true. You know, God makes no provision for us to do it on our own. God doesn't say, I don't know if I said that right, but what I'm trying to say is God doesn't say do the Christian life on your own, because you can't do it on your own. It's not in me to do the right thing. And I've went years, and maybe you went years with trying to do the right thing in your own power. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. We're going to mess it up. We're going to fall short. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But God gives us the Holy Spirit. God equips us to walk in that walk. And so we got to basically decide, I want to be this person that God has called me to be, and then push that flesh man down every time he tries to raise himself up, you know, and walk by the Spirit and let God strengthen you. And we're going to get into some practical things that everybody in here already knows about. But this is God telling Joshua, do these things. Do these things, man, and you're going to be successful. And God wants us to be successful. I'm not talking about having the biggest house in the cul-de-sac or the fancy car. Those are fine things. And if you want that stuff, that's great. You know, work hard, get that stuff. Don't get mad at your neighbor if they've got that. Work hard, go get that stuff if you want it. But don't let that stuff have you. You know what I mean? Don't let that stuff rule over your life. Don't spend your life trying to accumulate things to keep up with your neighbors or things that you think will make yourself happy, because we don't exist for that, and it's always going to end up in a hollow feeling, you know? But we're created to give God glory, and God wants to use us, and that's what it boils down to. God says, you exist to give me glory. You exist to give me praise, and your life is an offering to me. So I want you to go out there. I want you to do the right thing. I want you to stand up for what's right. I want you to pray and intercede for a lost and dying world. In other words, God wants to use us. And he says right here, according to our text today, just like Joshua, don't be discouraged, man. Don't be fearful, but trust in me and let me give you peace. So Ephesians 2 and verse 10, right here on our monitor, for we are his workmanship, talking about God has something for Scott to do. God has something for Skip Bo to do. God has something for Sister Adriana to do. God has called us all to be his representatives, okay? So Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So just a super awesome verse right here. For we are God's workmanship, or we can say it like this, we are God's work of art. We are God's masterpiece. That's each and every one of us. Not the human creation, not the fallen human creation, but there's this special creation. Remember when you accepted Christ, I am a new creation. I accepted, there's something happened inside of us spiritually when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Whether you saw sparkles and you fell over backwards and didn't move for 3 days, or you just made these, you said these words and you believed it, you became a new creation. Can I get a witness? So we are his workmanship, or we are his work of art created in Christ Jesus. See, our access to God the Father, our access to being in this special, special family is through Jesus Christ. We all know that we can't get there on our own. We're not good enough, but we become this new creation, something that never existed before. For we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, look at that, man. God wants to use us. God wants to use us. God has some things that he wants us all to do, okay? So we need to be one of those people like Isaiah that says, here I am, send me. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, here I am, send me. I remember years ago, man, I was on my way to work, and I had to work way out in Pensacola, on the far side of Pensacola, and I was driving to work and just having this time with the Lord. And I said, God, you know, I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'll do whatever you want. And I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. And of course, I meant it. I absolutely meant it. I didn't understand he was going to put me right here. But, you know, but here we go. But I said those words, and like 2-3 weeks later, we had a preacher come down from Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut area. Maybe it was Massachusetts, one of them places up there where everybody's cold and mean. God bless you guys, I love you. He called me out, he pointed at me and said, the other day, you told God you would do whatever he called you to do. He heard that and he's taking you up on that. And I was like, oh man. All right, yeah. So God hears your prayers, man. You know, that I'll never forget that, you know. And that's what God is asking of us, man, you know. Be obedient to him. Say, God, here I am. Send me, whatever that looks like, you know. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. This is what I wanted to get at. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So before you were ever thought about, God said from 1930 whatever to 2011, you are going to be on this earth, and I want to use you, and I've got these things set up for you to do. Now, he said that for all of us, not 1930 to 2011 or whatever, but he said, you know, I got things for you guys to do that I've prepared, that as I was knitting you together, before I was knitting you together in your mother's womb, I said, these are things that little Rachel is going to be able to accomplish for me in the time that I have her on earth. You know, he's picked us out. He single-handedly said, I need Davenport for this. I need Sister Claudia for this. This is why they are here. So if we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So You know, we got this big, like Joshua, we got this big thing over our shoulders. You know, Joshua, you got to go out there. You got to do this. You got to cross the Jordan. You got to conquer this land. God's got things for us to do. But look over here, Psalm 121 and verse 2. We are not to be intimidated. We are not to give into a spirit of fear. Just look at this verse and check out this verse with me and let it give you peace and comfort and a little bit of excitement. Because this is a dandy. Psalm 121, 2. My help comes from the Lord. So, you know, some people can say, well, I'm highly educated. I'm highly trained in my specific field and whatever. And that's great. That's fine. But sometimes we're going to run into situations that we don't really feel like I'm trained for, all right? And you haven't been trained for it sometimes. But see, here's the deal. God equips us. He's not going to ask us to do something or put something in our path for us to do and not equip us for it. So check this out. My help comes from the Lord. Okay. So my help comes from my daddy's checkbook. Oh, okay, cool. Don't hide it. Divide it, brother. No. Okay. Psalm 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Just look at that little part of that resume right there for our Lord and Savior, who helps us, who's in our corner, who says, you go out, you trust in me, you obey me, I'm going to use you. And so I want you to have peace. So remember this. Look at this little corner of my resume here. I created heaven. I created earth. Okay, so you can trust in me as you step out in obedience to me. You're walking in some scary areas, stepping into some areas you've never been into before, whatever. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And remember this, he created heaven. He created the earth so he can hold our little world together. Can I get a witness? Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous. We're into our second verse, Joshua 6, Joshua 7. Starts off the same way. Only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God wants his people to not be full of fear, but to be bold, to be strong. Okay, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law. Okay, this is where it gets down to the rubber meets the road, or as they say in the Greek, the nittus and the grittus. It's so silly. People say that was uncalled for, Paul. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that my servant Moses, my servant commanded you. Okay, so he says, obey the law, obey the books of the law, obey the Torah. Okay. This is so important, and sometimes we don't even apply this to our lives because we won't spend time in God's Word. And I'm not saying that you don't spend time in His Word. Let me say it like this. Sometimes I'll say, I'm going to read myself a few chapters of the good Lord's Word, and I will. I'll read them, but I won't really meditate on them or chew them up sometimes because I'm in a hurry. That's okay. That's something, all right? And God's still feeding you. But see, it says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So God is trying to make a point here that I want you to take the good book that I gave to Moses. I want you to take the good book, the Bible, and I want you to read it. And I want you to be very careful as you read it. And I want you to apply it to your life. When it says do something, do it. When it says don't do something, don't do it. Okay, so obey God's word. And there's something, Joshua, that you'll notice when you look back with what happened in Moses' life. When you take the word and you do what the word says, you're going to see that there's going to be some victory, that there's going to be some productivity, that you're going to see that there's going to be some sort of success. And remember, we're not talking about how man sees success, not that that's a bad thing, but what we're talking about is to be successful in God's eyes is to be in that place where God wants us to be, or to be in the will of God, to be in the will of God. And what happens when I'm in the will of God? God can bless me like he wants to bless me, because sometimes he can't bless me if I'm going the other direction, if I'm being rebellious or I'm not saying, I don't want to do that. I know what your word says, but this is what my flesh says right now, and I got to do this or that. No, but if I'm obedient to the word of God, he says, you're going to be in that place where I can truly bless you and give you the provision that I want you to have. And not only will he be able to bless us, but the big thing is I'll be able to use you. God will be able to use us like he wants to use us. Amen? Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. So don't go picking out, Joshua, don't go grabbing the things that you like and applying that and skipping over the things that are convicting, you know, but take it all and don't be sidetracked. Don't be led astray, but take the word of God, every bit of it. You guys know about Thomas Jefferson. You've ever heard about him? You know that he was like our third president or something like that. Not something like that. I think he literally was our third president. But so you probably heard about this before. And last night when I was reading, and it talks about this right here. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. I thought about this memory or this thing I heard about Thomas Jefferson. Now, Thomas Jefferson took his Bible. This is true. His Bible is actually in a museum in Washington, D.C. He took his Bible and meticulously, with a razor blade, cut out certain chunks of scripture that he didn't like, that he didn't want in his Bible. He really did that, and his Bible is like gouged up, man, with all these huge chunks and passages taken out of it. So whenever he would peruse his Bible, he wasn't going to be offended by something he didn't want to see or be convicted by something he didn't want to see. And that Bible's on display. That's a really true thing. But that kind of jumps out at me because, no, none of us are going to sit down with a razor blade or a pen and scrabble out things in the Bible we don't like. But sometimes we might decide, I'm kind of dealing with this in my life right now. I've kind of given into this temptation a little bit, so I really don't want to read this scripture that is somewhat convicting, so let me read about this or that. Or sometimes we jump around and we cherry pick the things that we like. And so God is telling Joshua, you take every bit of this book of the law. You take all of it. Don't turn from it. Don't be sidetracked. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Don't pick out what you like and what you don't like. Take it. Meditate on it. Obey it. Do what it says. And so it says, only be strong and very courageous. So strong in this verse right here means to be firm. It means to not be swayed. And so we need to apply that to our lives, because I want to be someone that's not swayed or led astray. I want to be firm in what the scripture says and not say, I don't quite believe that. I don't know if that, somebody put that in there, but I'm not sure God put that in there. No. Okay. See, we need to be firm in what we believe. We need to be resolute in what we believe. Like I'm always saying, let God be true and every man a liar. And God is telling Joshua, be resolute, man. Be firm. Take my promises. Okay. Take what the word of God says and don't be distracted from that. Do these things because I need you. Do these things and you'll be able to be courageous. You'll be able to be courageous. Do these things and you will be prosperous. You'll be productive. You'll be able to take the land. Okay. Moving forward. Next slide. I'll read this. We don't have to turn back to it, but it was on the previous slide. But when we're talking about being strong, we're talking about standing firm. So look at what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16:13. This is the advice Paul gives the Corinthians. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Stand firm in the faith. That's a charge for all of us as well. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I like that part. Paul's like saying, act like men, man. Act like men, man. Be strong, be firm in the faith. Anyway, so Joshua 1, verses 7. Let's go here again. You got verse 8. That's cool. Stay there. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Now look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Man, that's pretty hardcore, ain't it? But look at the job Joshua has to do. As you're walking around the camp, and instead of listening to these people, as you're walking by and maybe there's a little fear going on there, maybe there's a little grumbling going on, you can encourage these guys. because you're going to be filled up with the Word of God, and you can tell them what the Word of God says. But more than you will be able to tell them what the Word of God says, it will flow from you the way you're holding yourself. Like, this guy is okay. He's calm, cool, and collective. He's trusting in God's Word. So God says, this is super important, Joshua. I need you to be brave, okay? So take this Word, and I want you to memorize it. I want you to chew on it. I want you to meditate on it. You know, and I got to throw this in here because meditation gets a weird, we have weird, strange thoughts when we hear the word meditation because of Eastern religions and stuff like that. Bible meditation is focusing on God's Word. Focusing on God's Word. Not emptying yourself in whatever the Eastern religion philosophy is. It ain't that. You're pushing everything else out and just focusing on God's Word. You're chewing on God's Word. You're thinking on God's Word. You're meditating. Well, you're thinking on God's Word. So, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So God's Word needs to be a very important part of our life. Very important part of our life. Where it's something that as we make a decision, as we go to make a decision, and man, this is convicting to me, you know, but I want more of God and less of myself, man. You know, I want to be that person that God's called me to be. And so these are some really important things that he shows us right here. He says, you know, before you make that decision, think about what my advice will be. Think about what God's Word says about this, and then we apply that to the situation. Okay, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So the more I read it, the more I think about it, the more I read it, the more I meditate on it, the more I'm going to do it, which means the more successful I'm going to be in this mission that God has called me to do, whatever that might be. Can I get a witness? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We want to accomplish. We want to accomplish what God has for us. We want to be what God has called us to be. That's why we're here on earth. Okay, so look over here, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. So the psalmist is kind of mirroring what Joshua has just been told by God. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So God is telling Paul, God is telling us that we need to really be careful of who we take advice from, really. You know, let me just say it like this. If I go to the world and see how the world handles something and I do what the world does, I'm not going to get the result that God wants. If I take worldly advice or ungodly advice, it's not going to produce the kind of fruit that God wants. Okay, it's just not going to work out the right way. Okay, so I need to be very attentive on who I take advice from. Okay, now blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay, there it is again. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So just like what we already read in Joshua, he meditates. We need to meditate. We need to think about what God's Word says. Okay, you got a drive time commute? Listen to a little bit of the Word of God. You know, you guys know what to do. We live in the 19th century or 21st century or something like that. There's a million ways to get the Word of God into us. We want to do that. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So look at this. He is like a tree. What is a tree? A good tree is going to be firm, man. It's going to be steadfast. It ain't going to be falling over, right? Now this tree that we represent gets the nutrients it needs from the Word of God. We get what we need from the Word of God. So when the newsman says this, or grandma says this, or the doctor says this, I can be resolute in my faith because this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. I don't have to be swayed back and forth. Okay. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So there's a connection here between reading the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and being and doing what God has called you to do. You know, that's why we have this amazing book. You know, and some of us, I'm sure we have like, I couldn't begin to tell you how many Bibles I have in my house. I got a bunch of them. I'm sure some of us have quite a few Bibles in our house. Well, we need to be reading them, old boys. Can I get a witness? All right. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Some people like rock, some heavy metal. So, hello. Psalm 119:11. Check this out. Just two little goodies right here for you. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart. I have stored up your word in my heart. How in the world are you going to store up his word in your heart? You got to spend time in it, man. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to stay in the scripture and meditate on it, chew on it. You know what I mean? I have stored up your word in my heart. Why are you doing that? Why are you storing up God's word in your heart? That I might not sin against you. You know, I can't tell you how many times I went to go do something I shouldn't do, and there's that convicting Bible verse where God's just, the Holy Spirit's just like saying, you don't need to do that. You don't need to. And then what do? If you really want to be naughty, you'll push it away. You know, but that's not what we should do, right? We want God's word to convict us, and we want to be obedient to that. Okay, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 105. We're no stranger to this one. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Everybody can understand what the picture is here. God's word keeps me safe. God's word leads me in the right path. God's word keeps me from making stupid decisions. It's as simple as this, and you guys know it. It's like walking around at night in the middle of the woods. If you ain't got a flashlight, you might just step on a snake. You might twist your ankle. You might poke your eye out with a tree branch. You might get bit by a scorpion. Yeah, we got them. We got them around here. I think. I don't know. I think so. One time I was driving home from work. I was actually at work, but I was on my way back to the shop. I was driving in the truck here, and I looked down on my chest like I do often when I'm driving down the road. I just saw something weird, you know. I was like, what was that? And there was a scorpion walking up my shirt there. Yeah, and I scooped it up in a cigarette pack cellophane and took it back to the shop. I was like, look, fellas, check this out. I think that happened. That may have been a dream. I'm not sure. Something like that. Somebody told me something about it happened. It really happened. As God is my witness, something that resembled a scorpion was crawling on me. Whatever. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So what's going on? Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word will keep us out of trouble if we obey it. Not saying we're not going to have troubles. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. This ain't the easy part of life, man. This is the hard road right here. Eternity, it's going to get really, really good. But right here, God never says this is the easy way. You know, but to serve him, that's the only way. And he says, I'll keep you from a lot of unnecessary hurt and trouble if you just take my word and be obedient to it. Can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the last and final slide, Clyde. Direct connection, taking God's word, doing what it says, even when you don't want to do what it says. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. Sometimes that flesh man's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, let God be true. Every man a liar. Don't let your own heart deceive you. Your own heart can be very deceptive. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Third time in four verses. Have I not commanded you? Now he's being a little more sterner, saying, this is a direct order, Joshua. I need you to be brave. I need you to be full of courage, all right? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. So, Joshua, I need you to be brave. I need you to be strong. Do not be frightened. Do not be discouraged. These are emotions that you can give into if you want to, but they're not going to be productive for what I got for you. All right. Remember, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he'll make our path straight. He'll get me to that place He wants me to be. And sometimes we're leaning on our own understanding, so we're getting fearful, we're not submitting to God, and we're going around that mountain more times than we have to. Okay, tell the truth, right? Do not be dismayed. Now, this right here is so important to the believer and is so important to me in my life. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You take the word of God, you obey the word of God, take the word of God, chew up the word of God, think about the word of God, obey the word of God, and you will be successful in the mission that God has for you. And then this is the icing on the cake, if you will, this extra promise that God throws in there for Joshua. And he told him last week in our study last week, just like I was with Moses, man, I'm going to be there with you. And he says, you go do this scary, crazy job. You go out there tomorrow morning, you go to work, you go do this, you go do that, and you're not going to be alone. I'm going to be with you. Who's going to be with me? The creator of heaven and earth is going to be with me, okay? And he's going to be running interference for me. Matter of fact, he's the shepherd, so he's going to go ahead of me. It's my job to follow him. Can I get a witness? Okay, so Joshua has it all laid out for him. Big job. Now, you can be successful. I need you to be successful. Matter of fact, in our first verse today, he said, you will be successful, but this is the key to being successful. You do this. Okay, we can be successful too in what God has for us. Look at Exodus 33:15 right here. This is Moses and God having a heart-to-heart with Moses. And Moses says this beautiful little thing right here. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, Moses had this job before Joshua. And he says, God, if you leave us, if you forsake us, if you abandon us, if you give up on us because we're worshiping these stupid idols and all this crazy nonsense that these people are getting into, if you leave us, what difference? That's what makes us different from the rest of the world. That's what makes the Christian different from the rest of the world too, is that God is with us, that we have God, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of each and every one of us. So Moses says this, and he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, God, if you're not going to go with me, do not bring us up from here. God, let's just stay right here, man. God, please. We can't do this. I can't do this without you. We can't do this without you. In other words, we need God. We cannot do it without him, but we can do all things through him. Psalm 51:11, this is David, one of my heroes. This is David when he actually just got busted. David had a little problem there. He got into a little sin. As a good godly man, you know, he let his guard down a little bit and ended up with a tiny little bit of adultery and murder. And so he had a miserable time the year before he repented. So he went through like a year where he had all this held in and he didn't repent of it. He didn't give it to God, so he was miserable. But this is right here after Nathan the prophet meets with him, calls him out on his sin, and he writes his psalm about it. But Psalm 51:11, listen to what David says and listen to the sincerity and the earnestness. Cast me not away from your presence. David, do you deserve to be cast away from his presence? Yeah, and I do too. We all do, because we've all fallen short. As Christians, man, we've all done things that we had no business doing. That's just how it is. But cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David gets it. He's like, I'm leading these people. I'm leading the Israelite nation, and I can't do it on my own. I can't. And David remembers. David came up under King Saul. Saul was the king before David. And he saw what happens when God pulls himself away from, he saw what happened when God stepped back and stepped away from Saul and all the craziness that happened to Saul. Okay, and David said, I can't do that. Please forgive me. Don't leave me. And that's what we got to do. We got to repent when we've fallen short. God's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28, verse 20, last verse. This is Jesus Christ giving the Great Commission. Okay, so he's talking to the 11 disciples. Judas ain't in the picture. Judas is gone. This is a resurrected Jesus Christ talking to the disciples, if I haven't said that already. And he says, I want you to go out and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and do this, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, all the things I taught you, Sermon on the Mount, water into wine, all these things that you've seen, the feeding of the 5,000, the fact that I was dead, now I'm alive again, all the teachings that I've given you, I want you to make these disciples, but teach them. And that's the same for us. We take the teachings of Christ, like the Word of God, like we're talking about today, because what is Jesus Christ? He's the Word made flesh. So we take the Word of God, we read it, we chew on it, we apply it to our life, and then we can be at that place of victory that God's called us to be. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So there it is. Four Bible verses where God says, I got something for you to do. Do it, but you're not going to be alone. I'm going to be with you. So walk in obedience to me, and I'll be right there with you. Father God, thank you so much for your blessings on these people, Lord. Thank you that we love one another, and more than that, we love you. And as we love more of you, we're going to love each other and be about your business. Thank you, Father God, for a good and productive week. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.